Blog Talk Radio.
Big 12 Nation, what's going on this week? We've got a lot to talk about, a whole lot to talk about. Let's get into it. Texas lost, Baylor lost, and I think just about everybody else won like they're supposed to win. And I'm laughing because if any of y'all saw the Facebook page, it's exactly what Charlie Strong said. But when he said it, everybody thought he was making excuses, and they went and hired Tom Herman. And he straight said, I've never seen anything like it before. You prepare as hard as you can. You practice hard as you can. You go over detail. You went everything over the book. And then when they get out there and perform, it's like, where did all that go? And you saw Tom Herman saying the exact same thing on Saturday. Or Saturday, late Saturday, I should say, mid-Saturday afternoon, after he got a wake-up call. And I don't like how these people are also saying heavily underdog Maryland team. This is why when they make rankings at the beginning of the year, I never take them seriously. You cannot seriously tell me if Maryland is a good team or not yet. You won't be able to know till week 10. Well, they're a good team. What if they beat Ohio State and Penn State and go undefeated? So you can't say that Maryland wasn't a good team. We don't know who's a good team. We don't know how good of a team Texas is yet. The season just started. So everybody's saying it's a big underdog now. That's a Big Ten team, guys. Oklahoma's going to play the quote-unquote best Big Ten team this year. This is not like everybody thought Maryland was like playing UTEP or Texas State. No, Maryland is a Big Ten team. Maryland plays Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State, Nebraska, Minnesota, Northwestern, Wisconsin. They play those guys every year. So Maryland is not some slouch, you know, bullcrap, subpar team. They're a Power Five conference team. And DJ Durkin coached with Tom Herman at Ohio State. So obviously he knew, you know, Herman's stuff pretty well. So you got to just be, you know, serious. When you start making these bold predictions. And the funniest thing to me was, on 104.9, the Fan in Austin, they were talking all that trash. They were making fun of Charlie Strong. They were making fun of Bob Stoops. Talking about Bob Stoops quit because he didn't want to lose to Tom Herman again like he did last year at Houston. All these jokes and everybody's being funny. Then when they get their butt kicked, everybody's making excuses. Even more hilarious to me is the guy was defending the team saying, well, it's not like last year where they just let everything go away. If you look at last year's schedule, they were close in every single game that they lost except for the last one against TCU where they quit because they knew that Strong was getting fired. So that excuse is out the window, saying that they played a lot tougher down the stretch. No, they played tough down the stretch in every game last year. That was the frustrating part, is they would be on the doorstep and they just couldn't finish. And obviously the embarrassing loss to Kansas, that didn't help either. So what I want to say is this, too, and I'll finish on Texas. We can't have the extremes of both, and that's what we have. We have the extremes who said Charlie Strong was so bad, Tom Herman is this perfect coach, he's going to get everything turned around. And then when he doesn't, you can't be, you know, man enough to eat your words. Same thing on the other side. People who say, oh, this sucks, this is bullcrap, why do we get this coach? Hey, let's also be fair there, too. The man needs 2, 3, maybe 4 years. Give him a minute to get his system in place. So we got the extremes of everybody who bashed Charlie Strong and thought this was going to be perfect. They can't own their words saying, okay, this is going to take longer than we thought. And then also, you got the other side of people where they said, oh, we're going to fire Tom Herman. This is bull. No, just wait a minute. It's game one. It's a full season. Get a man a couple of years. So I try and play the middle part of these two extremes. That's why when I did the Texas preview on Big 12 Nation, that's why I didn't go all crazy like a lot of the fans were in Austin and say, oh, they'll be 11-1, 10-2. I was like, no, 8-4, 7-5. Because you know they can slip up and do some goofy stuff because they still haven't got out of that mentality that they've had since before Strong was here. Even people said Mac Brown's last year was like that. So we'll see. What happens with the University of Texas. Now let's go ahead and jump to Baylor. The Matt Rhule era started off not so well. But here's the funny thing about it. We've had all these commentators and all these media people who wanted to bash our brows, talk about how he's changing the culture. No, he's not changing the culture. And this is not a bash Matt Rhule session. The difference between Matt Rhule and Art Briles is Art Briles just didn't say anything when there was accusations. Matt Rhule, if you look up Matt Rhule's history, actually kicked a player off the team when he was falsely accused of something that he didn't do. And to me, neither one of them can be considered right. That's the problem I have with the media. You want to uphold a guy for jumping the gun, but then you want to criticize a guy who didn't jump the gun. Neither one of them are right. So you can't hold Matt Rhule in this high standard and this great character when he kicked a player off the team because the girl lied because she was mad that a player wouldn't commit to a long-term relationship with her. That's bad. That's bad, especially when these young men are you're supposed to be like a parent to them. You're supposed to, you know, mold them into great athletes. If I'm a player, I stick with Art Briles because Art Briles doesn't jump the gun. He has his players back. And what all these coaches got to remember is that these kids are out here playing for you. We, media, bloggers, fans, we all have opinions, jobs, and stuff because how hard these players are playing. So let's stop just trying to kick them to the curb because some spoiled person doesn't get their way. And they make them an accusation because they're indecisive and their thought process is based on emotional, not rational thinking. That's a scary line that we're towing there. Other than that, I don't know how the Matt Rhule era is going to play out at Baylor. He may get turned around. He may be there 3 years and go. Because it takes a different type of coach to win at Baylor. And Art Briles is a different type of coach. So we'll see if he can get it turned around. But I don't, not trying to be negative, I don't see him taking Baylor back to where Briles had them at. I don't see him taking them to a undefeated or a 11 or 12 win season. I don't see that happening under Rhule. I see maybe 2 or 3 years from now, he might win 7 games, 8 games, but I don't see double-digit wins at Baylor for a while. Might be wrong. I'm not like these other commentators. I'll eat my crow. I'll own it. I'll own my crap. If I said it, I'll say, you know what, I was wrong. I'm not going to be like these guys on 104.9 The Fan saying, well, I didn't say that. I was just like, yeah, you did. You said how great the tournament thing was going to be and how they're going to blow out Maryland, and really Maryland came out kicking them in the butt, and it was 30-7. So if Matt Rhule does well, I'll eat my crow. I don't have a problem with owning being wrong. But I don't see Baylor getting double-digit wins for a long time. Other than that, Oklahoma won successfully. Kansas State won successfully. Texas Tech did what they needed to do. West Virginia fought a tough game against Virginia Tech. Now they get a home game. They should be good to watch. Kansas, the Jayhawks, they finally won a game. I want to say this, though, guys. The guy at Kansas, I know he's a Texas native, Dallas area, I believe, I'm not sure. David Beatty, correct me if I said his name wrong. This is probably his second to last year. They give you 4 years, and I hope Kansas gives him all 4 years. Let me just say that first before I say what I say. But remember, guys, Bob Stoops is on the market. He said he's retired, but we've seen plenty of coaches come out of retirement before. So at the end of next year, if Kansas does not get it going or does not get it rolling how they're supposed to get it rolling, I can see Bob Stoops taking that Kansas job. I mean, it's in the Midwest, not far of a drive from Norman. When I say not far of a drive, I mean it's no longer than 7-8 hours at the most. A long drive to me would be like if a coach left Texas and went to California or Florida, or if he went, or like what Matt Rhule did where he went from Pennsylvania all the way to Waco, Texas. So we just got to realize that, I mean, we'll see. It's a long season, but if David Beatty doesn't get that ship turned around at Kansas, I could see Bob Stoops getting that job. Matt Campbell's a really young coach. He's got a long time they're probably going to give him 4 or 5 years to get that thing turned around because he's so young, and it just it lifts your program when you get a young coach that can, you know, recruit at his age. I mean, I think he's only mid-30s or something like that. So by the time he's 45, he can have Iowa State, you know, doing incredible things. So I think he's safe as far as the Bob Stoops sweepstakes go. Anybody else for Bob Stoops? We'll have to see how this year plays out. I can't think of anything. I was going to say UCLA if UCLA lost, but I will say this. If Kevin Sumlin keeps it blowing these 34-point lead, Bob Stoops will easily get that job at Texas A&M. And let's talk about that Texas A&M. Let's step out of the Big 12 real quick. The thing that drove me the craziest about that game was the fact that all these coaches' egos are so big that they don't want to switch the offense for 5 seconds. And I look at it like this. You don't have to switch the offense. If you run a spread offense, put the damn tight end back there and then put the running back back there and let him run behind the tight end and let him wear down the defense. You take your time getting up. You take your time getting to the line of scrimmage. You take your time calling the plays. When you got a 34-point lead, all you have to do is milk the damn clock. A&M tried so hard to keep throwing the ball, and when you do that, all you're doing is leaving more and more and more and more time on the clock for your enemies to play catch-up. And that's eventually what happened, and they lost 45-44. Kevin Sumlin, all you spread out offense coaches, take a book out of clock management and learn how to do it. That game was 4.5 hours or something like that. It was the same way last year. The more you throw the ball, the more time is on the clock. Throw the ball in the first half. If you get a good lead, you come out second half and you run the ball and you only throw on third and long when you have to. And if they're not scoring, you don't even throw on third and long. You just take your time. And then when you get the ball to punt, you milk the clock when you punt it. And you try and get out of there with a W. And that's all you do. So that's about all I got this week for Big 12 Nation. Everybody won who was supposed to win. We'll see how what Texas does at San Jose State, being that Charlie Strong's new team won pretty easily. I believe they won 42-16 most of the game, and then at the last second, San Jose State scored another one, and it ended up being 42-22. And obviously, Oklahoma has the good Ohio State. We'll see what Lincoln Riley can do in his first big game against a big-time competitor or big-time competition, as they say. Last but not least, I think, let me double-check, I think Texas Tech should play Arizona at sometime soon. Let me see right now. They should be playing because they went out there last year and played Arizona. So Texas Tech should be playing Arizona State soon. I'm not sure if it's this week or the next week. Let me see here. Bear with me. Yep. Looks like this week they got a bye week, and then they play at Houston. So this week Tech is off, and then the next week they play Arizona State. And then after that, guys, we should get in some good Big 12 competition. It will be fun to see if we can get a team to the playoff this year. That's it, guys. Big 12 Nation Week 1, full of drama as usual. Texas and Baylor getting a surprise, but I don't think that surprised most fans because everybody knew that the off-season talk is good, but when you get on that field in between those, it's all about action. And this week, Oklahoma will get a test, and we will see how we fare with the rest of the country in the Big Ten. Because if Oklahoma loses, that means there's two teams in the Big 12 that have lost to the Big Ten. And let me say this real quick. When it comes to high school football in the state of Texas, you got to remember most of the Big 12 teams recruit Texas. It's all about the quarterback, and it's about the offense. You guys got to remember, defense defense is a different thing in those places like Ohio, Pennsylvania, California, Florida. So that's why you see those strong defenses a lot of times coming from those kids. Think about the last time the University of Texas or UT had a solid linebacker. It was Jordan Hicks, Charlie Strong's first year. Where was Jordan Hicks from? Ohio. What do they do in Ohio? Run the ball right down your throat. So you have no choice but to get physical contact and tackling. Yeah, Texas has a lot of screen and bubbles, and you got to do open field tackling. But is it full rack open field tackling, or is it because the game is, you know, like they say, basketball on grass, you're just grabbing what you can and trying to pull a guy down. There, when they're running the ball, you got to actually run forward, lean your shoulder into a guy, and wrap him up and knock him back. And that's a lot of times what happened against Maryland. Maryland just a lot of times just ran the ball straight at him, and guys did not know how to just get in a good form tackle, bend their knees, wrap up, and drive him back. It's a lot of just dragging, get them down any way you can. And a part of that is because of how the rules are set up now, and you really don't have an option to tackle the guy how you want to. Everything's a horse collar. Everything's so nitpicky with defense. But that's the biggest deal, I think, in this new age of football is that the Texas high schools, most of them run spread offenses. And when anybody gets bored, if you think I'm bullcrapping, just go look it up. Go look up Ohio scores at their best teams, 20-14. You know, 20-10, 22-7. And then look at Texas scores. I mean, look at Lake Travis versus Judson this past week. It was like 44-60-something or, you know, 70-something-63. Like, these are all high-scoring games. So it's a sprint down here. And I think that a lot of times can cause big, big problems on defense. That's why when we go against teams in other conferences where the high schools play tough, more tough-nosed defenses, we have problems because it's been all about the offense in the Big 12. We need a strong defensive team in the Big 12 sooner or later. All right. Big 12 Nation, I'm out. Have a good week.